And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, the Constitution has really taken a hit. It seems like Steve Miller and Donald Trump have made a list of how many of the amendments to the Constitution they can wipe out. And how many have they started with this week? Freedom of the press? That's the big one, right?
Right, right.
Let's talk about that. What do you think about arresting Don Lemon for being a reporter, insisting on arresting him, insisting on trying him, after the magistrate said there was no case here, I'm not going to issue the arrest warrant, and they went to another one, and he said the same thing, and they appealed it. The appeals court said the same thing, so they went to grand jury and got an indictment and arrested
him. And they lost some of the lawyers who wouldn't bring it to the grand jury.
Right, right. You can always find somebody who'll do that, right?
Yeah, there's always a... but it's... You know, it's... In addition to the actual arrest of Don Lemon, this goes to the mental state of Donald Trump and the kind of people he attracts. But he told us he was going to be this. Remember he said, I am your revenge?
Right.
He can't, he is trafficked in the big lie for now going on 6 years that he won the election of 2020. Not only did he won it by a landslide. Of course, he almost got himself indicted over the phone call in Georgia and the other machinations that are going on. But you would think that after 5 or 6 years that people would say, you've got to move on. But he can't. He's got these personality defects, many of them, and this is one of them. What's worrisome is this really just a dry run for the 2026 election and 2028? If you remember, he wanted to confiscate the ballots back in 2020.
Right.
Only he had people who would put some sort of guardrails on him. Like even Bill Barr wouldn't go for that. But Pam Bondi, he says jump and she just says how high. And the rest of his crew is no better on that. And their whole approach is, let's see who can outdo one another to please the boss. And meanwhile, the country has the potential of suffering.
But this goes beyond just psychology and in what he's doing in Georgia. He seized all the ballots. He seized everything, right?
And right.
The official in charge of running the election said, I don't know what's going to happen with these ballots. I don't know where they are. They're not under my control. I don't know what they're going to do to them. That, you know, all bets are off, essentially, he said. And really, to me, it's a dress rehearsal for what they could do in every single state they lose or electoral district that they lose to guarantee that they don't lose the Senate or the House in a few months in the elections.
Right. You know, you remember the interesting part was that although he claimed that the election was rigged, none of the other people on the ballot had any thoughts about that.
Right.
The ones who won, the Senate and the House, they didn't come out and say it was rigged.
Right.
And So why would it just the presidential be rigged if he wanted to keep the Senate? Remember in Georgia, he lost two Senate seats back then.
Right.
And that's shifted the Senate.
And he wants to get
And
Ossoff's seat back. Ossoff is up for now.
Right. And this has helped Ossoff immensely. Ossoff had a really big war chest, but it's a tough fight when there's a D after your name instead of an R down there. But I give some credit to the Republicans, not full credit, but the state Republicans, like Brad Raffensperger, who came out and said, the election was kosher. They didn't use that word, but in essence, remember they did three recounts, including a hand recount.
Right. That's right. Well, but how about Arizona? Look, the same thing happened in Arizona. Right. You remember the result there. It ended
the
up
ninjas.
Biden got more votes.
Right. And they're trying to do that in Colorado. Remember with Kim Davis on that. But we'll, and it's going to be interesting who's going to bring the lawsuit and see if the courts will stop it.
In Georgia.
I have no idea on that. Georgia. That's the first case. We'll see. Mark Ellis, Elias, rather, he's got his hands full.
Yeah.
But he's predicted this. Ruth Ben-Ghiat's predicted this. This is the autocrats. This is the Viktor Orban type of thing.
So what, I noticed that
we have the First Amendment.
Yeah.
You start to say you notice something?
Well, I noticed that plenty of people in the media have immediately reacted to Don Lemon's being arrested and pointing out how dangerous this is and how an attack on the free press this is. And this is...
except for Fox.
Well, or except for Fox, right.
I was home on Friday and I was changing channels and they didn't even play it up. And then, what's this? The one guy that they have around 5 o'clock was accusing Don Lemon of all sorts of outrageous things, saying that this was justified.
Well, these are the same people that claim that the Prissy was going to mow down the ICE agents with a gun that he never drew.
Right.
With
right.
his camera, right? With his camera.
Yeah, and then they went off on the Second Amendment saying he had no right. He had no right to carry a gun to a protest. And then the press had a wonderful time showing all the times that right wingers have carried not just concealed carry, but open carry, semi-automatics to all sorts of protests.
But shoot demonstrators.
Yeah.
And kill them.
And, yep.
And get,
you know what? You know what I'm reminded of? Way back, I guess in the 60s, in California, they had an open carry law. And one day the Black Panthers all showed up with their open carry.
Right, that was
and
the end
it
of
was
that
real
law.
Quick that Ronald Reagan signed a bill overturning that law.
Right, exactly. Well, this is that all over again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's one big attack on the Constitution.
Yeah.
Or even two big attacks on the Constitution. But in any case, the attack on the carry, on Prissy for carrying the gun by the people who have risen to power based on the fact that, on the argument that you should be able to carry a gun is, I don't know, beyond hypocritical.
Yeah. I mean, even the NRA was reluctantly forced to come out and oppose it or make a statement on that. I'm sure they didn't want to, but you know, one of the excuses that you hear from the right wing is, well, we need to have a gun in case the government comes from our for our rights.
Right. Exactly.
So it's not just about hunting or self-protection.
No.
That was their big argument.
So
And
they should criticize, they should be criticizing the poor guy who got murdered for not drawing his gun and shooting the ICE agent.
guess so. I guess so.
That's the logic of the argument.
Or that there weren't enough people in the crowd to do that
Yeah, exactly.
for him. So we had that, the Second Amendment. Fourth Amendment, there have been trying to get into people's houses without a judicial warrant. They have what are called these administrative warrants, but they're not issued by a neutral party. They're self-serving. I think that they used one of those warrants to arrest that Laotian guy, that poor guy who came out of the shower in his underwear, and they put a robe on him and walked him out in the freezing cold.
I think that's the general approach. They do that everywhere. That's what they
Well,
do.
they want fear. They use fear as a weapon. They don't believe in intellectual persuasion. It's how we can make you fear us so that you do what we want. And you know we know where that's right out of the playbook of the 1930s.
They're not doing it
But
only, by the way, they're not doing this only to immigrants. They want every citizen to be feared,
right.
in fear of them. And if you remember, the Project 2025 author, currently the head of the administration of the country, said that
Sokol.
he wanted to make sure that every federal employee woke up every morning afraid to get out of bed.
Yeah,
Remember?
afraid for his job,
Yeah, exactly.
or her job. Yes.
Fear,
And
fear is their thing.
yes. And division is their thing. They want people to they want to divide people.
That's why these rallies, these anti-ICE rallies, are so significant and so important, because they unite people.
Yes.
Thousands, I mean, what's going on in Minneapolis, and I'm sure in other places in Minnesota, is uniting people. Not just in rallies, although the rallies are, you know, very public expression, but in showing up with cameras, in going to the drugstore or to the grocery store to run errands for immigrant families who are afraid to leave the house. All that kind of thing, which requires real deep community organizing, is taking place. And that
Well,
is something I think that the Stephen Millers of the MAGA movement didn't count on.
yeah, they thought that they could cow people.
Yeah.
And individuals, particularly in the blue states, are standing up. They won't have enough room in the jails if everybody does that. By the way, when we mentioned Minnesota, Trump has also claimed that he carried Minnesota in the last three elections. That's been one of the prizes that the Republicans have been trying to flip was Minnesota, and they've been unsuccessful. They've come close. Remember, that was the only state that Walter Mondale carried, but they haven't been able to. And this one, this tactic, look, the leading Republican running for governor dropped out. He saw the writing on the wall.
He also said he didn't want to be connected with that national policy. Good for him.
Good for him. So we're left with the MyPillow guy and somebody else.
And Amy Klobuchar on the Democrat side.
on the Democratic side. Yeah, it's interesting she's leaving the Senate, but we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens there. So we've had that, and these, you know, it's amazing though when they actually go for warrants that they don't always get them, and that's almost impossible. If you know what
to
you're
not
doing,
get the warrant, to not get the warrant.
Yeah. If you know what you're doing, you can allege almost, you know, a sufficient amount for a magistrate or a judge to issue it. And they're failing. Of course, when they have people in the prosecutor's office who never prosecuted or don't know what they're doing, I don't know if you saw this week that the one woman who they were trying to install in Virginia, who blew the indictments, she left the government. Hannigan, isn't that her name?
Hannigan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the insurance lawyer.
Yeah, the insurance lawyer. I mean, the one thing that's kind of saving is that the incompetence of the people that they've hired. Now, there are people who are competent. They're the most dangerous. Tom Holman knows ICE inside out. You know, Stephen Miller does not. He's an incompetent. He's just a windbag, but he's a dangerous windbag. But there are a few others.
But Miller seems to know how to maneuver within the bureaucracy. He knows that.
Yeah, well, he gets on the phone and says, "I'm calling from Donald Trump, and you better do this, or we'll have you fired."
That's right.
Yeah.
You remember on that leaked chat that Miller was on, that the then National Security Advisor ran, in which the Atlantic editor or the Atlantic correspondent was inadvertently put on because of their dopiness and not realizing who was on their phone lists. They were all kind of backing away from military action until Miller says, "Listen, this is what Trump wants." And
right.
Then they all change their tune.
So, yeah.
You know, Miller knows how he...
You know, and we don't know if that's what Trump wants or that's what Miller wants.
That's what Miller wants. A, that's what Miller wants, and B, since Trump doesn't know what he wants, but he knows he doesn't want to be called weak, that's what Trump can be pushed into wanting.
Well, that's the other thing, you know. You get people... my wife ran into someone in a store this week and who was obviously on the Trumpy side, and he was extolling the strength of Trump. She's got a good friend she meets for lunch. And this woman, he's strong. And they don't understand how weak he really is.
Yeah, what makes this guy strong?
It's, you know, we've said this time and time again. It's about the perception.
Yeah.
It's about the visuals. It's not about the substance so much. He wants people to think of it that way. And quite frankly, as long as he's got Fox News and his group of flunkies, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, what have you, he's just going to keep marching on.
What was Tulsi Gabbard doing in Atlanta? She's the head of the intelligence service. Intelligence service is spying. Spying is overseas. What's she working? She has no role to play domestically, right?
Well, that's a question. Is it that she's inserted herself saying that there were foreign influences? Remember, Trump came out with that thing that there was Italy and Switzerland and a guy, I don't even know what other countries, that influenced the election.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it that behind the scenes, while we were, our attention was being directed at all these other things that kept popping up, that she was tasked with the chore of setting this voting grab up and manipulating it?
Who would have done
know.
That? Who would have been the grand strategist that would have done that? Susie Wiles? I don't think they have that kind of an organized and strategic approach in that group of people. I
You
think it's the
know,
case that she just interceded because they're all always competing to, get their name put forward or get their renown put forward.
who could be the worst today? But, you know, we mentioned Susie Wiles. She was supposed to be the moderating influence.
Some moderator.
Yeah. I mean, she's the one that's supposed to know, who's coming in and who's coming out. And then, of course, Laura Loomer shows up and barges her way in, and they fire some head of another agency because Laura's nuts. Again, the word is kakistocracy, government by the worst of the people.
George Wills this week called it loutocracy, government by louts.
Well, I call it malocracy or omnimalocracy, the by just bad
Comprehensive
people,
malpractice.
bad people
Bad people, right.
doing bad things.
Bad people doing bad things and getting away with it, right.
Yeah.
Well, they will get away with it, right? I mean, the
Right.
courts are going to uphold whatever they do, right?
We'll see. By the way, we still haven't had the tariff case settled.
Even if they throw out the tariffs, let's assume they say they throw out the tariffs. They can come back the next hour and say, okay, we're not going to appeal to these rules and laws. Now we're going to appeal to the and base it on these laws, right? You start all over again.
They're persistent, if nothing
But the
else.
court is not going to end this. The court doesn't have a way to end it. They can keep coming back, and they can just ignore the court. After all, they've ignored the court on releasing of the Epstein files.
What was it? Somebody did a compilation and said they've ignored at least 100 court orders
A judge said that.
on a variety.
A judge said that.
The judge said that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But with the Epstein files, they were supposed to release all the files, what, 2 months ago, a month ago?
December 19th.
December 19th. And today, or the other day, the Deputy Attorney General said they're not releasing any more. That's it. That's what you get. The rest of it
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
we only have
Nobody
half of them
asks him
released.
whether it matters or not. He was told, release it.
Remember, these were the things that were on Pam Bondi's desk that were going to be released in 2 weeks,
That's right.
back over
Exactly.
the summer.
Right.
And again, their incompetence. They said, well, we had to redact people's names of victims. And lo and behold, the victims took a look at the records and their names are there.
Or they said they didn't ask for them to be redacted. They don't want them redacted. They want to get known as being victims.
No, I don't know. They were threatening all the victims to put together a list, and they haven't released that. I don't know what's preventing that, or what they're waiting for, if they think there's a more propitious moment for that. But that Epstein thing, just it won't go away, although they've been trying. We've had Venezuela intervene. Looks like we're going to be back in Iran.
Well, yeah, I figure that we have to go to war with Iran because there's no other way to divert attention from not changing what's going on in Minnesota. And he's not going to change what's going on there. He may have gotten rid of Bovino and replaced him with Holman, but they're not going to change what they're doing. So that he has to direct attention somewhere else. Well, a war is exactly what does it.
Yeah, the wag the dog issue.
Wag the dog. Exactly. But it's one thing to kidnap the president of Venezuela and make a deal with his coteries. Venezuela has 20 million people. It's another thing to play around with the 93 million people who live in Iran. That's something altogether different, I think.
Iranians are have been agitating again, and we've let them down again in terms of getting rid of the Revolutionary Guard, which is the only thing keeping the Ayatollahs in power at this point.
Yeah,
country's
but
bankrupt.
who's the, what great Democrat is coming in on the heels of the United States overthrowing the Ayatollah? There is none.
Well,
Nobody
yeah.
who was a Democrat would agree to be sponsored that way.
Right. They don't want to go back to 1953.
No, and the Shah's
Although,
son is the one that the
yes.
United States is promoting.
But he's come out and said, I only want to do this as an interim and then establish a constitutional monarchy. But you know what
Yeah,
happens when
well,
you get power.
that may not be what anybody wants. How about people not wanting a monarchy of any sort? After all, these people had a secular republic before the Ayatollah overthrew
Yes. Yeah, and all these people that agitated for the Ayatollah, it's been a lost lifetime.
That's exactly right.
Been a
That's
lost
exactly right.
lifetime.
But nonetheless, the odds are that by the time we're having our conversation next week, we may find that what we'd be talking about is the new invasion in Iran.
Yeah, they moved the aircraft carrier there.
That's right.
It was interesting that the Saudis and the Israelis, supposedly behind the scenes, said don't do it. They were worried about the Iranian threats of rockets. Saudis, of course, to hit their oil fields, and the Israelis that they may not have enough of their own Iron Dome to shoot down rockets. Remember, that's got a long history going back to the Saddam Hussein's Scuds raining down on Israel, and then for 20 some years you had Hamas shooting rockets periodically, and the big thing was the failure of Hezbollah, which had well over 100,000 rockets to really support Hamas after October 7th, but. We ought to take that as a win and not worry about why they didn't do it.
Well, the point is that if the Americans really do what Trump is reported to be considering doing, the Iranians may very well fire off their rockets. Because
Yeah, I'm kind of
what
surprised.
alternative will they have if the Americans have a foolproof plan to get rid of them? Then why wouldn't these guys shoot off whatever they've got to prevent that?
Well, they're a death cult, don't forget.
Exactly.
They're into martyrdom.
Yeah, they don't believe
With
they die. They don't believe in death. So why wouldn't they do what they need to do to stay in power? And if they won't be in power, all right, so they'll be in heaven. But they can't lose.
live in paradise with the
Yeah.
72 virgins.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Maybe
these
nobody in
guys are.
Trump's entourage knows that. I don't know.
The only thing is, and they keep trying to get back into Syria and send arms around, but they're not nearly as successful as they had been. But who knows what the Chinese, their ally, and the North Koreans will do to help them.
The Iranians?
Yeah.
Well,
Drones and
there's
things
no
like
report
that.
that the Chinese have sent them any weapons.
Well, the Chinese, the Iranians, and the Russians are sort of on the same page, but who knows? We'll just have to see what occurs in the middle of the night with
Well,
Donald
that's
Trump
the
and his
problem. We may
protection.
well see it this next week.
Yeah. We might see it tomorrow morning, for gosh
You
sake.
might, that's right. And because that's the only way that I can see that Trump sees a way to get out of the problem, the dead end that he's in. Because he's in a dead end. With Epstein on the one hand and him not changing Miller's strategy on the other,
Right.
he's in a pincers. He's caught.
Well,
And we have to keep it up. We have to keep up the pressure.
yes. Yeah. Don't non comparandum damnum. Don't let the bastards wear you down.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.